Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Paula Price Show, where you can experience revelatory teaching, get answers to your questions, and receive powerful prayer. Tune in now and get ready for an exciting time of encouragement and transformation. Welcome your host, Dr. Paula Price.
And I'm here with two of our three prophets. Prophet Adir could not be with us, but I am excited about having a fourth one online from Portland, Oregon, Prophet Austin, who is probably, our first round of outside of the circle, as we call it, the founders. I always like to say founders. Now, I told you tonight we're going to do prophetic chants. What I want you to observe and participate in, I don't want you to just be out there just watching. If you have questions for any of us, just ask them. If you have a question for Prophet Tyler, Prophet Ashley, or Prophet O, you can ask them. Now, I know you all probably got questions already, but at least let us get warmed up. We want to get just a little warmed up. And if we can, that'll be really great. Then we can start talking about what is on your mind and what you'd like to know. So I'm going to start with just the basics. I'll let both of these prophets introduce themselves, and then we'll have Prophet Off introduce himself. It will not be a long introduction because we still only have an hour, and we want to make the most of it. So we're going to start with, since this one came with me, we'll start with this one.
I didn't come with you?
It came with me. Yes.
I've been around long
enough. You came another route.
Well, hi, everybody. Welcome to our prophetic chatter night. I'm so excited to be here. I am Prophet Ashley Claytor, usually behind the camera.
Usually.
And behind the phone.
I try to sneak out.
Well, because you always,
Okay.
She always makes me come out, but I'm not shy, so that's okay. And I'm excited to be here. I've been ordained by Dr. Price's ministry for 10 years. Well, we've been ordained for 10 years, and I am the assistant to Prophet, the executive assistant, and lots of balls, lots of hats, lots of juggling, all those fun things. But tonight, we are here to answer your questions and to see what God is up to, so I'm excited.
Yes, well, I'm glad to hear that because we're here for some prophetic chatter. Well, something fell off, so we won't be using that. She's Prophet Power.
Hi, everybody. I'm excited to be here tonight and want to thank Dr. Price for having us on Prophetic Ed and sharing her Periscope moment with us.
And Facebook.
And Facebook and Blog Talk, all of them. And so I'm excited to be here. Of course, I am Chief Prophet Tala Price, also known as Dr. Price's daughter. And I'm excited to be able to answer your questions tonight. We've been together forever.
Yeah, since you've been on the planet.
Wow.
That's funny.
You joined my mom. Yes.
And so I joined her world. I helped her, you know, manage this world. And we are just excited about what we can bring to you today because this world exists. So I'm thankful to be on the show. And I'm also thankful for her and our newest offspring, Dr. O. Spears.
Well, Dr. Spears, you are, you know, in many, many ways, one of the first of my sons to finish. You know, I've got sons that start, and God bless them, but you finished. And so I'd like to talk to you about you to share about who you are and just kick it off a little bit briefly about what made you start and finish, particularly since we're going to have to talk about the elephant in the room, and that is all these women.
Yeah. All right. Very good. All right. Well, you know, first of all, thank you so much for inviting me. Anytime Dr. Price and the team invites me in, I will, you know, say yes. You know, to be honest with you, I'll kind of dive right into it. I was one of the first clients with PPM Global Resources, and I began to just kind of walk through the process. And the truth is I was doing my doctorate and also doing the program. And in the middle of it, I wanted to choose one or the other, and the Lord wouldn't let me. He told me that I was to to continue, and I was to finish both programs. So to get my doctorate, I got that in 2011 from Regent University. And then a few years ago, I think I'm coming up on 2 years, Dr. Price, being ordained with NEAR and under your ministry. So 2 years is my anniversary as an ordained prophet. Just, you know, to be honest, the start and the finish has to do with just simply calling, God speaking it. also having gone through the doctoral program and understanding the rigors of education and finishing programs, that helped a lot. And so, yeah, so that's me. I'm in Portland, Oregon. I'm a regional prophet for NEAR, and I'm a council member for the Global Prophetic Company of NEAR, and I'm glad to be part today.
And we're glad to have you. And for the record, also, other, you know, his kingdom placement is as a coach. You are also a professional coach.
I am. I do that on a daily basis. I'm a remote coach, and I coach executive leaders, college leaders, MBAs, different kind of leaders around the nation remotely. And that's where I really function in the prophetic most of the time. So.
And the thing that we both share, and we'll probably kick it off with that, is that Ulf was actually trained by Chief Prophet Toller, believe it or not. So he's getting a doctorate, and I might add, from Regent University, and he's learning to be a prophet at the same time. Now, why am I saying that? To let you know that God places his people everywhere, everywhere. And he, because you're prophetic, if you're taking notes, write this down. I teach all my prophets, your prophetic calling is not incidental. It is not extracurricular. It is not a hobby. If you're called to the office of a prophet, it is not. You are not a hobbyist. You are not an enthusiast. Your prophetic mantle is your first call in your life. Everything else comes within that sphere. The prophetic is to wrap around your life, which is why we have a mantle. When we see Elisha, he picks that mantle up and he wraps it around himself to indicate everything I am and everything I was is now encased in this calling called prophet. And so that's part of the teaching and the education we have. So he's sitting there, and I'm going to let her briefly tell you about him and his doctoral program. But he was like, "Is God serious? Could God be serious?"
His doctoral program.
Yeah, when you and him were training.
Oh, his training program. Okay.
At the same time, the two.
Well, because he was getting his doctoral. I think we engaged. He was wrapping down and getting ready for his thesis portion and pulling all of that information together while he was studying with CPM Global. And so, of course, you know, our program is unique in that we train prophets from the inside out and not the outside in. So we don't start with techniques and all of that. We start with the life and character of the person. And so we got into a lot of that in the beginning. There was a lot of shifting of consciousness and scrubbing and all of those kinds of things to prepare him for the call that he would ultimately walk in. We had no idea at that time he would fulfill that with us. But praise God.
That's true.
Yeah. We were just training him universally to be able to go into the world that the Lord appointed him and be able to be a representative. So that was the program focused on at the time. And so it was good. We had a lot of moments. He had a lot of challenges and stretching and shifting. I don't know if he wants to speak into that, you know, when we get the opportunity, but the shifting that went on in his consciousness, because he kept telling me, he said, you know, I was raised a good evangelical. I don't understand.
That's
you know,
true.
I understand that was raised that way, and so a lot of the professional concepts that go with doing this job were new, and we had to work out how that was going to be implemented in his life and how to make that shift in foundation. You know, when you are raised in another strain of the faith,
mm-hmm.
right? A strand
right,
of the
right.
faith. You know, sometimes
hang on. Pick one.
Yes.
We got a lot of attitude.
Exactly.
We can explain our division. We got real attitude
another
for our division.
Okay, as Paul said, our sectarianism. But another sect of the faith, how to transition properly into this prophetic world, because it is a very, very different world. And I don't think all the time that we prepare people for that
mm-hmm.
because we think it's about function. And when you think it's only about function, then you're not ready to meet all the demands of the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like somebody saying being a cop is just a function, and then you have no idea what the world of law enforcement is actually like.
Right. Yeah. Very good point. And you know what I like about that point is that that's bringing us to what we want you to get out of tonight. The prophetic is a world. It's God's world, just like your career, your doctoral career, your attorney career, your whatever your profession is. You have to know the world of that thing. The entry-level people, hear me. Again, I want you to get it. Entry-level people get techniques. Nobody really cares if you understand the who, what, when, where, hows, and why. They don't really care. Mm-hmm. They just need you to do something. Okay,
yeah.
Just go and, you know, you're two steps up from a tax, you know, provisional employee,
right.
or your entry level can be your beginning track, your apprentice track. But you and I mean, those of us who've been in different fields, and I've been in a lot of them, bless the Lord, you know that entry level, nobody really wants you to know. They don't want you to read the manual. They don't want you to read anything. Just do what I tell you to do. They will tell you, don't think, especially if you customer service. They're going to tell you, we didn't ask you to think. We want you to read.
Yeah.
Just read. Just read the screen, okay? And then moving up, the more judgments you have to make, the more decisions you have to make, the more shots you have to call, the more education you need, the more you need to be penetrating that world. Because now you are becoming not just an output, but you are now becoming a solutionist. Prophetics, like every other field, is part of God's solution team. But, I talked about being evangelical, but we have probably the quintessential. Our quintessence, we always like this one and Prophet D. I said, God really wanted to put me to the test. So I got two young ladies who were raised, what?
Assemblies of God.
Assemblies of God. Okay, so we just want you to know, God is fishing every pool. He's hunting, plucking everywhere.
Yeah.
So since I'm not anti-denominational, glory to God, I feel like there's a reason why we have denominations, and Lord knows a lot of them around longer than these charismatic.
Well.
So, that was just my own personal thing. Did I throw that out there? Did you all get that one? I just kind of tossed that out there. Hallelujah.
Well, you did well.
So I just want you to know, because God wants to speak into everything. I want you to get that. God wants to speak into everything. He needs a voice everywhere. So tell us how this was for you coming in, finding out you're a prophet out of that particular stream. And she came from a very strong, very good church.
I had no idea what it meant. Honestly, I remember seeing on the counter, because I was visiting, you were always traveling, and so I was popping with Prophet Tal because, well, she lived off campus, and so I was hanging out at your house all the time, and my family knew if they wanted me to find me to call your house, but I saw this book, Constructing a Contemporary Prophet, in the Prophet's Dictionary, and I was like, if I had a cricket sound effect. I had no idea what that even meant. Like, how can you, what is constructing a contemporary prophet? What's a contemporary prophet and you construct them? You know, there's highway construction from Pennsylvania. The highway is always being worked on. There's all these other things, but what are we talking about? Prophet's Dictionary. And I said to Chief 100 times, so your mother wrote this. I don't know if I've met a black woman that smart ever in my entire life to sit down. She wrote a dictionary, a prophet's dictionary. Prophets have dictionaries? You know, so none of
what
it even.
What do they have to talk about?
I don't even know. I had no idea.
Right.
So, okay, see, Dr. Spears knows. So I am really having no idea that God completely was setting me up. No idea. And I was walking into a trap called my destiny. He trapped me in friendship first. And I, as time went on, Chief was always leading a Bible study or a prayer meeting or going through constructing. Now, I'm still slow. I'll say dense. Like, I was really thick in the spiritual head to the reality of God was walking me into an awakening, my actual calling and purpose in life. I was just hanging out with my friends who knew more about God than any of my other friends. And that's what I was looking for, really, just more answers. It's not deep. Like, my story is just not deep. It is funny, but it's not deep. And that's really how I slowly, and I was like, okay, this is challenging. And it was challenging because I never thought those thoughts before. I never heard those concepts before. So it wasn't like hard as in rocket science, which to me is nearly impossible, but it was something that was very foreign to me, especially in God. And I thought, now I knew there was more to God than what I was hearing. But what does this mean? It was all Bible. It was all scripture. Mm-hmm. It wasn't anything crazy. There weren't any antics and, you know, trickery and prophecy. And if you do this and all these manipulations, it was straight up Jesus Christ, straight up the Word of God. Yeah. And I have never been more challenged in my entire life with just the Bible.
Wow.
Right. And the thing that we, which is a hot button for me, and I certainly, I'm going to ask you, Prophet, off to speak into it, but the hot button for me was that I can't, and I'm telling you, I'll go to my grave or I'll go to the throne with this issue. I cannot understand prophets who don't know the Bible. You are never going to get my respect, because how are you going to speak for a world that you don't know the manual to? So
right.
How are you even going to filter that? How can you filter who you're talking from? When you realize that when your telephone is off the hook and you're chatting, everybody gets to hear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when people open up your line, everybody gets to hear. You know, a window doesn't just let in air.
Right.
It lets in bugs, birds, dust, debris of all kinds. So I have a real issue with that. A lot of my issue is your issue. Many of you all who are listening to me right now, your issue is the exact same thing. You don't know it. I just defined it. I tapped that thing for you because you didn't know what bothered you. Why? That's why they sound so convoluted. That's why
right.
you come there. I don't know. Go ask God. If I was going to ask God, why are you standing in my face saying you represent me? See, I'm stuck with that. I get stuck on I'm a basic girl. I am so
right.
basic. People miss me. Because I'm basic. How about you? Oh, did you want to speak into that?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. You know, about 1999 was when I began to do exactly what, you know, Prophet Ashley mentioned. I began to kind of vet you scripturally. I had seen some of your books. I had seen some of your writings, heard some of your tapes. And then I just began to just take it and put it next to the scripture and going back and forth. It took me about seven years before I began to kind of step a little closer. And the truth is it was Bible and it was God. And I was, you know, and I, as I got closer and began to reach out to the ministry and reach out to the company, I recognized that you had this relationship with God and you were, you know, really talking about some of your, you know, things that God had given you from the scripture. And it was Bible and it was foundational and it was, you know, but it was, as the closer we got, the deeper it got. And I think that was the thing that kind of drew me in, Dr. Price, was your knowledge of the word and the knowledge and the fact that you put it first and you weren't pushing the word to the side and then trying to go into the spirit world. You were pushing the word forward and going into the spirit world.
Right.
And so I'm like, oh, yeah, yeah, that's so you have, you know, when you do that, you have a guard, you have some kind of direction. You know, you have some kind of understanding of where you can go and where you can, what you can say and what you can't say. You have some kind of guide, something to kind of guard us in and ring us in. And without that word, Dr. Price, and I think this is what you're talking about, there's no rain. There's no rain on what you can do and what you can't do. And so, you know, I just wanted to kind of speak into that. But that's what it is. That's what I respect about you the most is you're a word person. And so you're going to stick with the word.
You want me to?
Do you have any thoughts on
that? Sure. I was actually sitting there thinking while he was talking about the journey he went on to walk through the scripture and, you know, make sure that compared to that, I realized in this moment that the first place you actually hear, or I should say learn God's voice is in the scripture.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know what God sounds like. And so the first place you hear or begin to learn what God sounds like is in his word. We think that the first place you learn what God sounds like is when you have that invisible interaction.
Mm-hmm. Or something
that
pops in
your head or, you know, because you heard something, you know, in worship or, you know, all of those kinds of things. So it tends to make people want to value more the encounter than the scripture. Because somehow us looking at just a letter makes us feel like it has no bearing or connection to that live interaction we have with God, that rhema interaction we have with him. And so I just realized, I said, but the first place I learned how to recognize God's voice was in his word. And so when he began to speak outside of that, okay, in that, you know, those divine communications, I immediately could recognize it was him. And I think a lot of prophets today don't have that foundation, which is why they're just so happy to have a supernatural encounter that they're not questioning whether or not it was a God encounter. And you don't, you can't.
And their God.
And their God, right, because we know there's like 12,000 and
right.
one-third of a numeral.
Right.
Okay. So we do have a lot to filter through. Broad is the way to destruction. So we understand that. But, it, you know, you have to recognize that, wait a minute, what encounter did I just have, and how can I recognize that? And the first place you learn God's voice is not on your knees in prayer. It's in that word, so that when you are in prayer, this voice is coming along to lead and guide in all truth and confirm what you read, what was written.
But I think, Paul, it's a filter. See, what we lack
exactly.
is a filter. You know, education, intelligence, academia, they're all filters.
Yes.
And what do they filter? They filter ignorance. And
yes.
they filter deception.
Yes.
And they filter counterfeit.
Yes. Yes.
They filter seduction.
Right.
So one of the things we have got to get clear on, you know, Ecclesiastes says wisdom is a defense. That defense means guard,
yes.
safeguard, fail-safe. All of those things. And so if you lack the wisdom to know what God is talking, you know, it's kind of like
yeah.
people, like we heard, you know, you were telling me once, Ashley, we were talking one time about this, or one of these, those, what is it, the American Idol's one, but you said the girl, it sounds so much like Whitney until you hear her put those
right.
two sounds together.
Together.
You find that they're not exactly the same.
No. Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
so Satan is a very good ventriloquist. He
Woo!
Can sound very
I'm
good,
I'm
and,
I'm
very,
I'm
and he's
I'm
very
my Lord.
Good. And so he can sound a lot like Jesus because that's his job. And God lets him sound like him
yes,
because
yes.
God wants those who know his voice.
I love it.
Not those who want to feel a voice.
Mm.
Because you have to know that in our training, now any one of you all could talk about this, but in our training, we have the 14 voices.
That's right.
Mike. That's part of the training because there are no less than 14 voices that will piggyback on your divine calm channel.
Yes.
And you've got to filter. Now, even in the natural, they have to process a communications channel to make sure that it filters out everything that shouldn't be there and that the voice is clear, that clears clarity, and also that it's not garbled, that there you don't get this white noise, it's intelligent. That has to happen. If we know they, if they know that in the natural, that started with God. God created channels.
That's right.
God created those faculties that enable us to speak. So we have the 14 voices, and, you know, I want to say something because I got to pick at you. It's wonderful because I, how do I know this Assemblies of God girl is a prophet? Because remember, she's like, they still have them? I didn't know they had one, you know? And so how do I know? This is how I know. I'm first of all, God tells me she's a prophet. I tell God,
and I agreed.
No, Ashley is flat-footed Ashley. She's just flat-footed herself. She was not trying. You know, I had people around me posturing, slinging words, sliding them under the door, sliding them in my office, dropping them in my purse on the way home. Not her. She's like, well, if that's not me, that's fine. That's you all. But then we had a talk, and Ashley said one thing to me. She said, when I was a little girl, I was reading the Bible. And what book, what chapters did you read?
Well, I was saying that I found what I had lost when I was a kid, which was Ezekiel chapter 9.
Ezekiel 9.
And I was just talking about how that just...
I said, hold on, back up. Because, see, I knew the Bible enough to know what was in Ezekiel 9. See, so I wanted to know, because I listened to what prophets happy fall into. It tells you a lot about the complexion and the context of their mantle. So I said, do you mean the book of Ezekiel, chapter 9?
So I still didn't know what she was about to say. And God was so serious in that chapter. And then I kept trying to find where that was for years. I would read the Bible, and I think that was God's way of just getting me to read through the Bible. Because he knows I hate losing things. And I was just going through and thinking, but where... was that chapter where he sent out those angels? And I just always thought God was so serious.
So I said, you're an Assemblies of God girl. You talking about, you fascinated about the angels in Ezekiel 9 and the man with the inkhorn. And so I said, well, how old were you? Because I figured maybe she's on her way to college. No. I was lost.
Yeah, I was probably 12 or something.
And I said, and you read it? She said, yeah, sure. And I always I never forgot it. Why did that touch me? Because God will lead that prophetic kid to the sections of the book. They're not interested in the Davy and the Goliath slingshot.
Wow.
They are swimming in the deep things of God from little kids. I mean, Tara right. was calling me about the book of Revelation, and she's like 9. What? What are you doing in the book of? I'm trying to get you to
get
the Revelation. What are you doing up there? You're not at the end of time. You know, and then her dreams. She would talk to me about her dreams. And I said, baby, do you realize that you're dreaming the future? Well, no, I didn't, but my dream was so real. And I'm like, sweetheart. And from then on in, I knew I was mentoring and nurturing a prophet of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I knew she was an end time prophet. So what do I know about these two prophets here? End time. Very clear. And you cannot be a mentor and not know where your mentees fall in the prophetic spectrum.
Wow.
You have got to know where they are. That's why I wrote an assessment that can nail prophets where they are. So we're sitting here saying, but Ezekiel 9, Ashley, really? Come on, baby. And so when she found it again, she said, I found it. I bet. They didn't take it out of it, you know. But that's how I knew. Did you want to talk about hearing God's voice yourself? Because, you know, remember I said, so you and God talk? She said, yeah. Everybody else, God said, not this one. Not this one. I said, so y'all talk? Well, yeah. She said, matter of fact, he's cool. I was like, because she's still in college. Okay, so I'm going to let you take over from this.
Again, you know, just life with God. I did not know the way God was interacting with me was because I was a prophet. My mom never acted like it was strange. That's how. She was probably very happy.
And you know her mother's on the line now.
Yeah, I know. Right? Mom is listening. And I actually walked around feeling very inferior for a long time because I wasn't getting those type of divine communications and dreams and visions and all of that. And so I thought, I don't have anything to say. Maybe Dr. Price will realize this really isn't me. Now, deep down, actually not deep down, really near the surface, I knew that wasn't going to happen. But I thought, I have no idea how I'm going to catch up to these people.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, that's what I was thinking. I have no idea how I'm going to catch up. There is no way.
Well, and all of them, and I just listened. Now, contrary to most people, I did not turn my prophets out when they started manifesting.
Mm.
I brought them to training like you do all kids that start manifesting and showing some aptitude for something. We then put them in training. And I did that because, see, God delivered me from the occult. And so I know that this is not a fun game. And I do know that all of those little antics and pranks are not as innocent as we like to make them. So I said, no, you're not going out. And so we did not. I sat around with them. First thing I did was pray, and I needed to get their prayer life up to a level where they could be protected when they ventured out into God's world.
Mm-hmm.
See, so we had to get them good in prayer. I wanted them to be good and tight in prayer. I tell every prophetic trainer and mentee, do not push prophecy, push prayer.
Yes.
If they can't pray, you don't know what they're going to say. So I'm going to tell you right now, I require prayer. I don't have prophets that don't come to prayer. Don't tell me you can't come to prayer, because if that's the case, you can't come to prophesy.
Oh,
so,
well,
because you know pray, you know say. Okay?
You know pray, you know say.
If you're not a praying prophet in my world, you're not a saying prophet. So that's where I'm at. And so the second thing I worked on then was discipline and restraint. I wanted them to be able to manage themselves and regulate their sentiments, their emotions, behaviors, even their enthusiasm under the Holy Ghost. Because out of control means out of control. And so if you're out of control, then we have to figure out who has just taken it from you. So we don't have that. We don't have screaming prophets. You know, I like to pray with people, because let me tell you something. How people pray is how they prophesy. I'm telling you. So we get those little shrinking prophets. The first thing I find out is if you're going to shrink and pray, I'm going to need to bring you down a bit. I'm bringing down a couple of octaves, because you bring that down just a little bit. Hallelujah. Come on down a little bit. I don't need to die in that death and neither am I. Okay? You got to be doing all that stuff. When you start giving me all that abstract, ethereal stuff, I'm unimpressed. Because God doesn't talk like that. If you read the Bible, you know that's not God. God's cool. God is so cool, he's scary.
Well, yeah.
And so, and that's the first thing true prophets learn. God doesn't need all of the theatrics. He doesn't need the antics to do what he does. Now, when I researched prophets, I found out that the dervishes needed to do that. I found out that the Muslims needed to do that. See, I did my homework to let you know I knew that wasn't a true prophetic spirit that was moving on you.
Come on, fellas.
So you need to know that. Hallelujah. So now, we'll let you jump in. What is it you'd like to say? Because we finally going to give you a seat. You know how it is when you're the guy. We finally going to give you a brief.
Give me some time, huh? That's funny. You know, as you guys were talking, it made me think back to just when I started my training with Chief Prophet, and I was not thinking about being a prophet. I was thinking about getting healed, getting delivered, getting back on track, trying to just hear God again, get back in the race, get online. I was thinking just trying to get back in that place, you know, where I felt like I was, to be honest, alive again. And so as I went through the training, Dr. Price, and I began to get back into scriptures to learn, you know, just learn things that I hadn't, you know, learned and I put aside for a while, I began to, the calling came back. And the memory of what he called me to do came back. Then I started hearing his voice the way I heard his voice when I was younger. And so just that whole process of kind of walking through, maybe there's somebody on the line tonight that they've been pushing, like, you know, Prophet Astley said, and we've probably all done, pushed it down and pushed down the voice of God and pushed down the calling of God, and or are in a ditch on the side of the road. They can, you know, in this time, they can begin to pick up their calling again and begin to step back into what God has for them. So, I mean, I will just throw this out, Dr. Price, PPM Global Resources, great program for prophets to get back online.
And you know, that is the truth. And here's something I'd like to say before I have teachers run down a little bit about, because they both train now, because part of, I don't give vanity labels. I have no figurehead, and I'm not going to ordain something I'm not going to use. If I'm not going to use you, I'm not going to ordain you. Right. God ordained you to use you, not to watch you perform. God's not the spectator. He doesn't need your talent to show off. God ordains you to use you. And so I don't ordain that. A couple of things that I wanted to say, and number one is, I've been talking about activation. They are going to tell you, we never had an activation. And until the day they got ordained, and at which time, it was an affirmation. Because God was already acting through this, and he was already doing what he does. I don't do that. But when you finish getting your first year of education and training, when you get the beginning of that, once you start that, God begins to talk. Now, I'm going to talk to some people, because in my book, the Prophet's Handbook, I have a section on there, because we talk about God starts talking and he starts chatting when he wants to encourage you to get ready. But when God starts training you, he shuts up. And that's where people drop out of training. God doesn't talk as much. They don't get as many dreams, and you become addicted to those escapades with God. And when he stops doing that, because he now wants to train you to interact with his public and not just with him privately. Because, see, God starts out with private lessons, and then he sends you to public school.
Oh, my. Church.
Okay. Wow. So a lot of people don't go to public school because they want to stay home and homeschool in a closet. And see, as she just said, you don't know this man's world. You won't know his issues. You won't know his problems. You won't know what he's facing. You won't even know the state of his body or the conditions that they're in. So I'm going to ask each one of them to give you a brief, statement on what they do as far as developing the prophets while we get ready to start having your questions, because I want to take some of your questions tonight.
Where do we begin in terms of training prophets? Because I feel like there's
I'd like to meet a whole show.
I feel like there's some questions we can go. We have our program typically starts obviously with an assessment. So we don't start training, we don't start development without first doing an assessment to see where you are. So that's important because a lot of times people want to jump in just on what we perceive and discern as your anointing. But
isn't that what you do when you go to college? Or things? Don't they have
that? They start with an assessment. I wish I could have gotten in college on the spirit of discernment. I think I could have gotten a scholarship. them discerning how. I and a full scholarship on just potential. But instead, they wanted to see those SAT scores. And so
something about hard data and money.
And then your transcript. So, you know, all of that, you know, notwithstanding, we do the assessments, and then, of course, from there, we do a full orientation with you to introduce you to the program. Our program starts with the first class starts with assessing where you are and what you know and understand to be God's world. We recognize that most of us have been trained evangelically, so we're coming in with a lot of that information. So the first year is about the sifting and the sorting and the filtering that Dr. Price was just talking about, trying to differentiate, okay, what you understood to be, of course, the functions and roles of the pastor, teaching, evangelist versus what the duties and responsibilities are of the prophet. So we have to do a lot of filtration and a lot of weeding through that and introducing you to the world, the character, the nature, and the sound of the prophetic authentically. Okay, because the gift is what we know. Prophesiers is what we met. You know, most of us go, you know, go to churches, people speak in tongues, and you just blur. You know, so that is the experience. But now we have to introduce you, okay? We have to introduce you to the sound of the prophet and even the God of the prophet, who talks very differently, which is why we try to get rid of the Old Testament, because he's very different. And so that's important. And then we move from there. We take you into the prophetic awakening process where we begin to deal with you, your character, your nature. We said we start from the inside out. We don't start with technique. We get in that Bible. So your first class is going to be a lot of scripture. You're going to meet the prophet. Amen. Welcome.
With the prophet of Almighty God.
That's all you got, brother. Okay. This is
right.
With the prophet. So Dr. Price is big on Bible, and so Dr. Spears knows you got to go through those scriptures. You have to know what thus saith the Lord from the beginning. So the first layer is going to be dealing with Bible, and then from there, taking what we understand in that foundation of scripture and fine-tuning that toward what the prophet's job is. We distinguish between the prophet aids and accoutrements and gifts and abilities and what you call tradecraft or tools of the trade and the actual position of the prophet. Prophecy is a tool, okay? That is not necessarily why prophets exist. Mm-hmm. It is a tool of the trade for doing the job of the prophet, which is to defend the Lord, which is to uphold his standards and help govern his kingdom. So we do differentiate that in those first, I would say first 1 to 3 years, because I know that we feel like it should be fast, but we've got to differentiate a lot of things in those first 1 to 3 years for the prophet. That's what I'll say in a nutshell, mm-hmm. and then I'll kind of let her chime in on some of the things that we do beyond that point.
I agree. We do. We jump in and deal with God academically and scholastically,
mm-hmm.
which is a
shame
new line of
work.
I know.
please. She just killed all of your anointings, but just right now.
Okay. That academic devil?
Okay.
Oh, my.
That
academic devil? Well, what we do is we put the program. Study. That's what we do.
Okay. That is her drama degree. Okay.
Yeah, it's
super
drama.
Her mansion was rapture.
Okay. Mansion is drama.
Yeah, oh, my.
It is.
It's all drama, no acting.
Never put
no
out.
Activation.
No drama. Okay. But just act out. We don't have to say we act out, baby.
So what we do is, for example, I have one of my new students is also receiving her master's degree, and she said she's taking a short break from that, and we were going through the first month's assignments, and she said, oh, she said, wait a minute, this is like my workload for getting my master's. I'm glad I'm on a little break from this over here. Yes, because we deal with you as the individual.
Yes.
You are the one who has to carry this out. What type of prophet do we have? Do we have a Jonah who is always going to let God know what he's not going to do and how he disapproves? Do we have a Daniel, high seating? Do we have a prophesier? So we take those results and incorporate that, not just where you best fit, but where you are as a person. Right now, the assessment deals with your emotional state, your maturity. That's important. Just in any other school setting, sometimes your emotional state rested every time.
Mm-hmm.
Every time you
under collapse under pressure.
Yeah, collapse under pressure. Something else hits you in life. Mm-hmm. Oh, how did I do it again? I just have to take a break. This is your third break. in 3 months. So I'm thinking you're not ready.
This is not your call.
Isn't it? But we do. We have an unapologetic academic scholastic approach because we are building professionals. It's in all of our language.
Because prophets wrote the Old Testament, and they are their scholars, and they're scholastic, and they're intelligent, and they're thinkers, and they're judges, and they're processors, and they're thought leaders. Prophets wrote this, guys. We're not asking to read of another field. This is not the book of pastors. This is the book of prophets. And the master of the prophet brought us this. It was a prophet that said in the beginning, God.
But what you did was, well, besides your homework.
Yeah, a little bit of that.
So now we all do.
Yeah.
Our homework.
Yeah.
Not yours. You did that research, which brought back validation to the office.
Exactly.
We don't find validity in anybody's gift based on what they say.
Mm-hmm.
We find it in proof that they passed some series of tests, trials, courses, and a higher institution behind them validate what they can do. Period. We're not going to take a cheeseburger from somebody unless we can validate
that you passed McDonald's program. We need you to be able to pass.
Thank you.
The McDonald's.
And so you did your research to pull forward what we dismissed. Oh, that was back in the olden times, back in the Bible days, where no, they didn't have, in a lot of people's minds, especially in this country, it wasn't real education then because we didn't have laptops. It wasn't real because, you know, we didn't have, like, right?
We have
internet. Right.
We don't have
Google.
Exactly. How many people cannot find their way about an encyclopedia series? It's what am I supposed to do with this paper? And you went and did the research and pulled forward the actual process, and you had to address this on one of your trips. No, that's not what the priest didn't sign up on the clipboard
mm-hmm.
and put on a collar.
Mm-hmm.
They actually couldn't go to Google and download an entire uniform and impersonate
mm-hmm.
somebody.
And a piece of paper.
Yeah, they had to pass programs and tests and do all the things the prophets did, every last one of them, that was credible. And you pulled that forward and now make us come through the ranks that God always had in place for this office.
That's powerful. And we just want to share that, you know, I don't want to run out of time for the question, so here's what I want to say to you. I want you to hear this, and then she's going to read the first question, and whoever gets it. But I want to tell you this. When you think who you represent is serious, then readiness and excellence is worthwhile.
Okay.
When you think who you represent is non-existent or is indifferent, then you don't care. You do what you know. Because in that context, your doing is more important than what they're achieving. When you recognize God is doing something, then you want to help God succeed, not make him look like an idiot.
Well,
hallelujah. So what's the first question?
I actually don't have
any questions. Do you have any questions? So
you haven't. They have to.
Do you all have any questions? If you have any questions, please ask
mm-hmm.
Because it's important. And meanwhile, we'll let Prophet Alt give us some comments on what's been said so far while you give us one or two questions. We want to answer them.
All right. Well, you know, I wanted to just, you know, chime in on the emotional intelligence piece. Just as we're doing assessments and work with new prophets, just that whole soul health is a big issue. And that's something that I run into on a consistent basis. And so Dr. Price has written a book called 3D, A Soul Restoration Plan to Take Your Life from Distress to Success. And I do recommend it for new prophets and just as you're even going through the programs. That was one of the things that I would constantly run into as I was being trained was the soul health. And so no matter how, you know, no matter how much I knew the word, no matter how, you know, how powerful I would be one day, if my soul couldn't handle the rigors of the office and the call, then I wouldn't be able to deploy it and dispense it. And so, you know, just want to just throw that out and say that. So that whole emotional intelligence, I think everybody's heard that before in, you know, academic world. But Dr. Price, you know, applies that within the assessment into our are a calling. And so I thought that's very brilliant, and it's very needed to make sure that there we have not only trained, academically trained prophets, but also healthy, high emotional intelligence prophets.
And when we say emotional intelligence, let me just make that make sense to you, because, you know, especially the church, we are very good at picking up a buzzword and just running with it as if we know what it means. We're talking about that prophet who can lay you out and then walk past you in the lobby and act like you are dirt. Mm. That's a soul issue.
We're talking
about the prophet that can reach into heaven, pull down everybody's phone number, social security number, etc., and can't stay out of the bed with other people. That's a soul issue. We're talking about a prophet. The minute you disagree with them, you're gonna have a tantrum. You're gonna hear them yelling, frothing at the mouth, screaming all over the place. That's a soul issue. We're gonna talk about the prophet. This is soul health. We're talking about the prophet who will tell you, come up here and give me your last, even if you're gonna be on the street tomorrow. That's a soul, because that's a caring issue. See, there's some caring issues that are not there. So we're talking about soul health. We're also talking about the prophet who is hot-headed, who cannot communicate or articulate well, who cannot take correction or development, who every time you want to develop them, they say you're rebuking them. They don't know the difference between development, rebuke, correction, or anything else, maturity. All of that comes under soul health. And so in public, you sit out there, and every one of you know what I'm about to say is the truth. In public, you're wowed by them. I mean, they wow you. And then you go out and sit with them at the table and find out they can't put any three sentences together outside of that call.
Mm.
Or they go out to the table and you watch them treat the wait staff like garbage. Mm. See, that's a soul issue, people. And those are the things that we need, because nothing discredits your prophetic more than your conduct. So all of this falling, like, you know how you want to hear somebody fall and you say, I'm with you, man of God, and I'm with you, woman of God? Y'all both got a sick soul, because God is holy. That's sick soul response, because God is holy. And so God said, and by those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy. That is the God we serve. And I'm telling you, God is, we exist to bring people out of it. A prophet with sick soul is like a doctor with an addiction trying to treat you for being an addict.
Mm.
That's the blind leading the blind, Satan trying to cast out Satan. It cannot happen. So we put a great emphasis on it, because people may get mad at the man and woman of God, but in the end, all of those falls that you've seen has shaken your faith in God, because this is what you think. What is God doing? Well, why is God letting it happen? Well, maybe God's not God. Well, maybe we're just religious. Well, maybe we're reading the Bible wrong. Everything, because these people are sullying the holiness of our God. So I'm not, you know, and you yourself, you don't say it, but it's true. You know it's true. The last thing you want to do is walk into a restaurant and hear the man and woman of God that you have just celebrated slashing up the wait staff.
That's true.
Okay, walking out the restaurant not paying the bill, or claiming the food is terrible so they don't have to pay. You don't want them doing your game, because you want to think that they are a step up. So we deal with that. We deal with soul issues, because a sick soul will sicken everything it touches. Hurting people hurt people, broken people break people, sick people contaminate other people. That's just life. Hallelujah. Do you have any questions yet or what?
Yes.
We do. Mm-hmm. Okay.
A couple people wanted to know how they could do training with us if they don't live in our state.
Great. Do you want to answer that?
Sure.
Sure,
I'll be happy to answer it. How you can do training with us if you don't live in our state? Well, one thing that's great about CPN Global Resources is that we are a web-based company. So what we do, what we offer, is entirely web-based. So you're able to sign up for the program and engage with them right from where you are, literally right from your living room. All you need is internet access and a telephone. Okay, and that will connect you to one of our professor advisors, our mentor trainers here. And so it takes a few seconds to sign up on the program. You can visit www.ppmglobalresources.com and say, hey, I want to be mentored, I want an advisement, or I want to do a ministry training program. And so once you click that option, it kickstarts the process for you to go ahead and enroll and register into one of our programs. As we said, it starts off with one of our assessments, okay, and after you take an assessment, then you'll meet with one of our specialists here, one of our advisors here, to go over your results. And during that process, it will give recommendations for what type of training program will best suit you and where you are. All of our training programs are customizable. So we don't just build them around just a basic standard. Yes, you'll have standard things that you need to know about the prophetic, but it's customized around what you are trying to achieve, what your assessment says that you need, and where we can take you from there. So that's how you can get involved with one of our programs right here, again, www.ppmglobalresources.com. And so there, I would say that they are extraordinarily affordable, and it gives you an opportunity every month to teach, talk, and touch with an advisor one-on-one. It's like being in your own online university, okay?
Where you are an automatic valedictorian.
Because
you are the head of your class.
www.ppmglobalresources.com. And I want to add to that, too. A lot of people get stuck because our traditional way of mentorship, especially in the church, is face-to-face, reach out and touch you. You know, I want to see your tears of pain. I want you. And if you can't find that in your area, you do need to reach out. It's better to reach out and get the highest quality than to just kind of settle for what you have, just like anything else. When I can't find something in this region that I want, I go online.
And she's saying something very important there. This is why Dr. Price started this company, okay? We started the company because we wanted to give people all over an opportunity to get expert training, expert counsel, and advice. I mean, how many industries give you opportunities to get, you know, human resource development, get a continuing education? We have all of these assessments and services that you can get outside of your company to help you improve at what you're doing. We made it a for-profit company for a reason, because we want to be independent entity outside of your church that you can use professionally to help you develop in what God has called you to do. So we are Switzerland. We're not here to take members. We're not here to be your to replace your spiritual covering or any of those kinds of things. We are literally a professional service that is here for you that you can take advantage of anytime you want to. It's exclusive. It's private. We don't necessarily cross those lines. We're here to support.
And it's confidential.
It's confidential.
Yes.
It's very confidential. And it's intimate. Mm-hmm. We give you not only a professor, advisor, that is going to be meeting with you every month, but you also get your own prayer coach that's going to pray with you throughout the program. We give you academic assistance. We have it fully covered. So it's a well-rounded program to treat the entire person.
This is a good question. Have you experienced God requiring you to special diet, seasons of solitude and elevation that you would rather bypass?
The word diet automatically. It automatically said bypass.
I was about to say he can speak into that because God has sent you on many journeys like that. Hasn't he, Dr. Spears?
Yes, he has. I didn't hear the question. It was kind of a little bit muffled. What was that again, Prophet Ashley?
The question was if God had sent us on special diets or seasons of solitude or levels in elevation that we would rather bypass.
Oh, yes. Oh, gosh. I would just say real quickly, I think the part of conversion, that word conversion, is interesting word. That is probably the toughest part of just pulling away, allowing God to really remake me to be a prophet, not only mentally, physically, spiritually. That was the tough part. But to be honest, when you emerge, then the truth is then you're better off and you're better ready to handle the responsibilities that come with being a prophet. So yes, there are times where you don't want to. I tried to run from Chief a few times. I tried to act like I didn't hear the phone. So. it was ringing. It seemed to be getting louder. You know, I'm trying to like, Lord Jesus. Okay, I'm going to do this.
Get it done. I want to say this to you. We're running out of time, so if you appreciated this and you'd like us to do it again, inbox us. Tell us. We'll schedule them again for you if you would like to do that. If you want to get more information, DrPaulaAPrice.com. You can get all of those, all that information from there. Very simple. And for the rest of you all, the questions we have, we'll try to get some of those answers to you, maybe posting them or something.
Actually, most of the questions revolved around
what we
training and how to find a mentor if there is not one in your area, how to develop yourself prophetically.
Yes.
So that's...
Well, we don't... With the program that I've developed, we do not leave you alone or on your own. And so you need to recognize that if you want to get it right. Now, when she said unapologetically, I am. I'm unapologetically going to give God the best product I can possibly give him because God's got a tough job.
Mm-hmm.
And he needs tough people to help him do a tough job. Mm-hmm. And God needs tough prophets. You know, we've had tender.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need to have the tender underbelly and the toughness to do the job.
Mm-hmm.
If you'd like to meet some more of our clients from CPM Global Resources, then you should join us in June 15th through the 18th, where they will show up. We'll have some. We'll be inducting. We have others. We'll be training, but you can meet them and talk to them yourself. A lot of them, I'm sure, are on the line, and you're probably going to hear from them from your Facebook. They're going to tell you they've been in the program, et cetera. We've had a lot of people come through, and, you know, some people are just meant to pass through. Others are meant to finish. Others are meant to become pillars. There's a life for you here. What we wanted to do was to create gainful employment for prophets and apostles. We wanted to create an intelligent strata of apostles and prophets, and we also wanted you to be able to understand that the prophetic doesn't rely on the local church. The local church relies on the prophetic. And so we can start making those distinctions for you, things to get better. So did you enjoy it? How was it? Did you appreciate it? Are they giving us any kind of, are we getting any claps? I need some claps, some hearts, and oh, yes, I need all of that.
Yeah.
So love, you know why? Because we want to make this happen. People hear me. I want God to have the best. I don't want to apologize to God for all of the dropouts. All of the drop-offs.
Mm.
I want the man to have the best I can give him. He gave me his best, the best in his knowledge, anointing, resources, and faculty. I want to reproduce that for him. I need God to win. If I had to wrap this up on any particular word, I think that's what I would say. I need God to win.
Definitely.
Ladies, we have, what, 3 minutes?
Well, there was one last question. Yes, you do get your advisor. Typically, the advisor who does your post-assessment advisement is the one, usually, not always, but usually the one that you do end up with as your trainer.
I want to say this, too.
Yeah. How can we
sell? How can we
sell? You can go to www.drpaulaaprice.com. That's drpaulaaprice2a.com. You go right to the website. There are, you'll see the button where you can sow a seed and support Dr. Price Home Ministry.
And also, this is not the end. I want you. We created a career path for apostles and prophets. This is a literal career path. Guys, you want to serve God full time. You want to serve God gainfully, which means you want to get paid. That's what we're doing with our prophet often, all of the prophets that we have. So don't just think of this as, okay, well, I'm going to do this, but I don't know what I'm going to do. No, there is a career path. We are. Thank you, girl. We are building a company that's going to touch the world with the, what I always want to say, with the baddest prophets God ever had in history. We love you. And until Tuesday night, ABCs of Apostleship, we will ask you to be blessed. Come back. Listen to this again and again and again. And do me a favor, beloved.